Well, to begin this new series, and really to begin this new season in the life of our church, I am preaching the first sermon that I ever preached here. And here's how I started the sermon 15 and a quarter years ago on June 29th, 2003. Da da na 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 bom ba da bom ba da da na 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 da na na da na 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 bom. Anybody remember that? Look at how many people aren't here. I'm so glad, and it's such a good word that you don't remember that, because it means otherwise I'd be preaching to 12 people. That's what God does in our lives. Here's what we looked like when we arrived. We were still in our, I was still in my 30s. Don't tell my wife I just said that. Joy hadn't started kindergarten yet, and what I love is that there's people here that don't even know my kids. That's like the best news, that you don't know them. That's what they look like now, this summer. That other one was Halloween of that first year in 2003. That's cool, and it means that new people are here. Would you pray with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, if you're a fan of the pop culture of the 60s, you know the theme song that I was humming. What is it? The Munsters! Way better than the Addams Family. And because they love each other. And the black and white sitcom of a very normal, very strange, very funny family, in which each person in the family was a classic monster a la Boris Karloff, except for Marilyn, who was a beautiful blonde that the rest of the family felt so sorry for because in their eyes she was so homely. Do you remember how the show started? It started with a door. Hey, we're in the right key. Every week he broke the door. So funny. Every week he got stuck with his shovel. What was his name? Eddie, the Bat Boy. Today we are not talking about the Munsters' door, but I know a lot about doors, because being the youngest boy out of four of us kids, boy, girl, when all of the doors at our house were locked, I got shoved through the milk chute to unlock the doors so everybody could get in the house. Some of you guys may have heard of what a milk chute is. Another thing about doors, I know that riding in the car with our family, I never got to sit next to one. Because I was the youngest boy, I was stuck between my older brother Wes and my older sister Marcy, and they would tease me and tickle me mercilessly the entire trip to Chicago, where both sets of grandparents lived. And my sister Jama was safe. She got to sit up in the front on the armrest between mom and dad, and I thought she was the safe one. But that's how we traveled in the 70s. But this morning, we are not talking about the Munsters' front door, we are not talking about a milk chute-sized door, we are not talking about a car door, we are talking about a wide door, or as my southern friends say, a wide door. Say that with me, a wide door. Yes, we are parallelly facing this door because of the conversion of John Wesley. John Wesley in the 1700s was in his late 30s when God grabbed a hold of his heart and moved him in a way to begin calling people to repentance. Like, we're all just going our own way, going our own way, going our own way, when there's something so much better. And repentance is turning from that and turning to God's way for our lives and to the Holy Spirit, God with us in every moment. What you may not know is during this critical time in his life, shortly after his conversion at Aldersgate Street in London, Mr. Wesley wrote a group of Christians he had visited called the Moravians. The Moravians were in Herrnhut, Germany, and they were basically German peasants, and their faith in God and the power of the Holy Spirit in them caught John Wesley, who was trained at Oxford, by surprise as an Anglican priest. And John Wesley actually went and visited them and wrote this letter, though, quoting this morning's verse, which is 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. He said, "I wanted to come now, but I need to stay because a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." John Wesley is quoting the Apostle Paul, the one whom this letter was written to the church in Corinth. So, Paul, who we've looked at for the last month as we studied through the book of Acts, Paul wrote this letter from the city of Ephesus, letting the Corinthians know at the end of this letter to them that his plans had changed and he would be staying in Ephesus until Pentecost, which is when they remember the celebration of the Holy Spirit coming down. It's a Jewish festival. At that time, Ephesus was one of the major cities in the entire world. It was where three great trading routes came together, north, south, east, west. Ephesus is in Turkey. Corinth is in Greece. You can still find both of them today. And Ephesus had these three major trading routes, sort of like Dexter Ann Arbor, Dexter Pinckney, Dexter Chelsea roads, all converging on this giant city. Ephesus, though, was like Las Vegas of the ancient world. Of course, you could call most every city where there's internet that today, couldn't you? But Paul was in Ephesus writing the Corinthians, "I can't come now. A wide door for effective service has come to me, and there are many adversaries," while he was in Ephesus. Artemis was the goddess of Ephesus, and the living God had called Paul there. Paul had one of his longest stays, and though he had been planning to travel to Corinth, he decided to remain in Ephesus because a wide door for effective service had opened to him. Now, you know, some people think that the door is closing on Christianity in the world. But I want you to know today, in 2018, just like we were able to share in 2003, we've got a lot to celebrate. There is a wide door for effective service for us as Christians. Now, what I said back in 2003 was that in Africa, there were 36 million Christians already. But in Africa, there's also 22,000 per day coming to faith in Christ. In the year 2025, they predict 600 million. Think that won't make a change? In South America, there were 400 million Christians in 2003. In 2025, they predict 640 million. The Methodist movement worldwide is still growing by about 1 million per year. And it's happening in surprising places like Cuba, Korea, Brazil, and Bulgaria. Bulgaria has a coffee house in the Muslim section of one of their major cities, begun by the Methodists. Under communism in Bulgaria, all but two Methodist churches were closed. But they now have 30 and more planting new congregations. At the end of the Soviet era, there were no pastors left, but there was Burgos. He was an electrician who was a leader in one of those two churches left, in those small Methodist churches that did manage to survive. He was a Christian layman. He was a Methodist. Burgos gave away 4,000 New Testaments every year under communism between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. every night. When the communist walls went down, the Methodist church made him a pastor. Forget seminary, let him teach it. And in the midst of a Muslim city, he's planting churches because, in his words, there has to be a better way. There is also still a wide door for effective service in Dexter. You know, for decades, God has been doing tremendous work here in the lives of the people in Dexter. God has been transforming lives through this church. But now, because of the way that God has worked in these past few months and these past few years, we are standing on the threshold of another great opportunity, a wide door for effective service. Now, what is effective service? Let's break it down, because I'm sure those of you who were there 15 years ago don't need this, but for all the rest of them. The Greek word for effective is energes, means active. It means at work, energes. It's where we get our word energy in first century Greek. The word service in Scripture refers to working for someone, namely Christ, by teaching, by serving others. And here's where it gets interesting, though, because the difference between 2003 and 2018, because in 2003, to be a Christian was to be seen as kind of quaint or backwards, a tad scientifically ignorant. But now, it can potentially mean being seen not just as ignorant and old-fashioned in some way, but being mean-spirited, being bigoted, painfully so. Society, our culture, by what we worship as a culture, has moved to this. And the church, we've bought in on some of this ourselves. And we've brought some of this on ourselves. Refusing to love those who disagree. Indifference to the hungry, to the homeless, and to the hurting. But a wide door for effective service is among us. However, this wide door is not abject surrender to the hedonistic saturation of the situation we live in. Let me say that again. This wide door of opportunity is not abject surrender to the hedonistic saturation of the situation we live in. William Ralph Ing wrote about 100 years ago these words, "Whoever marries the spirit of this age will find himself a widower in the next." But we are even more, not just like 100 years ago, but like 2,000 years ago, when these words were written to the Christ followers in Corinth. Because back then, the earliest Christians were pressured to go along and to get along with the gods of the day, with the gods that everybody worked around, with the gods that everybody thought was important, elevating the attributes everybody thought was important, including the worship of Caesar as Lord. Think of what it meant to worship the gods of the day. A lot of them were worshipped by sex. A lot of them were worshipped in other kinds of very bizarre ways. And to say you worship Caesar, what that meant was you worshipped the power of Rome. It meant you worshipped violence. It meant that you worshipped this hierarchy of oppression, because that was Rome. And so these earliest of Christians were pressured to go along with all that when God was saying, no, there's another way. We today are pressured to replace our allegiance to Christ with a functional kind of universalism, kind of Unitarianism, kind of atheism, kind of spiritualistic thing. Remember the seminary professor who came and preached on prayer? He called it moralistic deism. Therapeutic moralistic deism is what is okay and in the box in 2018. But Paul felt he needed to stay in Ephesus because God had opened an opportunity that Paul made his priority. What are you making your priority these days? And for Paul, his priority was an active, effective work for God. Have you ever thought that you may have been put on this earth of all the reasons you were put on this planet, it was to be in God's effective service? Jesus gave us our marching orders. We call them the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commandment, when somebody said to Jesus, what's the greatest of all the commandments? And they had a lot of laws he could have named. He named this one from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Could we do that? Or do we just kind of love our, I love myself, and here's a little for the neighbor if there's some leftover. And Jesus' final words to his disciples at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he said this, Make disciples. Go make disciples as you go of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them in my name. That's what our mission is. That's our great commission. Now, effective service in Dexter means sharing Jesus by your life and by your words. Conventional wisdom in 2018 and leading up to 2018 over the last 15 years is this: live and let live. And I just want to say, live and let live has gotten us where we are. Conventional wisdom says, not now. We know a better way. Conventional wisdom says the scripture, the Bible, that's obscure, and not just obscure and quaint, but obscure and mean writings that have warped the world. And then I'd say, well, how about this one? Love your enemies. Church, could we? Could we pray for the people who persecute us? Or do we have to get snipey? How about this one? Don't repay evil with evil. Even in the tweet world. It's sad, let alone the rest of Scripture. We've let go of most of the Bible as our guide. Some of us are asking to let go of more, but today God has given us a wide door for this, and it's happening right here, and God wants you a part of it. You see, for many people, a sincere look at Christianity will be new. We have a young man, 17-year-old, that got baptized. He goes to Stockbridge High School, but his girlfriend had come here for Christmas Eve a few years ago. They both have been coming every Sunday. You know who had adopted them as a friend? Marge Van Meter. Like, does it get any better? They go out to brunch and breakfast every Sunday after church. He drives from Stockbridge, picks her up in Grass Lake, and gets here for church. Because a high school teacher, when this kid said, there's got to be more than this humanities philosophy class, he said, the teacher who read his testimony for the baptism, said, here's a book. It's by C.S. Lewis. It's called The Screwtape Letters. Let's have a conversation. He had never been in a church building before. And he found it new, and he found it refreshing, and he found it what he was looking for all along. God has given us a wide door of opportunity. And there is more discipling opportunities than ever before. You know, one of the last things that every dying church has is a community garden. I'm a gardener. I love gardens. But a community garden is not going to give people Christ like they need, or co-working opportunities. What people need is a deeper dive, I think, into how to serve, how to love, how to understand God's word. And it's on us. The impetus is on us. It's partly why in January, in the new year, we're going to be doing the Alpha Course. I would love every one of us to be in one of the Alpha Course small groups. It's an 8-week thing where there's a 20-minute video, there's a meal attached to it, hanging out. And it was designed by Holy Trinity Brompton Church in London, same place John Wesley felt his heart warmed and his transformation occurred when he was in his late 30s. And it was designed for post-Christian countries to have this conversation. And I think they're British on the video, so they sound really smart. You see, for many people, this sincere look at Christianity will be new, and it'll be refreshing. You'll say, well, I didn't know that. I thought this. But the problem is, we've got many adversaries. Paul says, it's a wide door. This opportunity's coming. It's effective service. Wide door and adversaries. Interesting, that's all in the same sentence. But what it takes for a wide door of opportunity in your life and in our region is this: time. That's what we don't have, is it? I'm too busy. I've got 2 minutes on my schedule. My kids have too much going on. Do you hear yourself? Do I hear myself? Do you know that love, the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E? So don't settle. We have more discipling and serving opportunities here through the years that we've been adding on and piling on than ever before. Classes all morning long at every one of the hours that we have worship. classes in the evenings all week long for men, for women, for couples, home groups, meeting all over the place. Don't settle. But at the same time, Paul says, there's a wide door, there's many more adversaries. In Paul's time, 2,000 years ago, 15 years ago when I preached a version of this message, and now, there are problems to be solved, there are dangers to be faced, there are difficulties to be overcome, there is pain that some of you guys are in the midst of. And I want to give you pastoral care. I wish every Christian could take pastoral care 101. Dr. James Ashbrook, who's since gone to be with God, taught me this because I needed it because I was in way too much of a hurry for people. And he said this, when things are hitting people, talk with them in terms of seasons. Because most people can't see past what their pain is and what they're going through right now. But if you can come along and say, this is a really rough season, isn't it? They'll be like, oh my gosh, someone understands. And they'll be like, wait, it really is a season. It's not for my entire lifetime. And the best thing about Michigan is people understand when you say, this is a really rough season for you, isn't it? They're like, I get seasons because we got four. Winter's too long, but we love seasons. There, now you can at least, you know, get credit in advance for one of those classes. There are adversaries from many places, the world, our society, yes, but they come from within the church also. And they can even come from within ourselves. The most significant ones do. Like Paul, we have adversaries, Satan, the world, our sinful, selfish nature. We must go through the door. There is a threshold for you to cross today, in this hour, even if that means coming forward for communion. Let that be your commitment. We don't do a ton of, like, come to the altar commitment time. But every time you come forward to receive the elements, you are making a public statement of your commitment to Christ. And your desire to seek him more, your desire to walk away from whatever the junk is that you need to let go in order to receive Christ. Let that be today. Let that be a threshold for you. There's a threshold to cross. Why don't we? Because I think some of us would rather spectate than participate. Some of us, in all my time that I've been here for 15 years, have never done a service project or a mission trip, or participated in a Bible study. Maybe that's your threshold. Personally, I'm standing before you with a threshold with you as we move into the future. So my question is, church, what's it going to be? Because it's a wide door. After Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians about the wide door of opportunity in Ephesus, the ministry there exploded. Within a generation, the center of Christianity moved from Jerusalem, we saw it happening as we studied the book of Acts, to Antioch, and now to Ephesus. And to Ephesus, John, the last of the 12 disciples, the only one that wasn't martyred for his faith, became the bishop of Ephesus and was later exiled to Patmos, an island in the Aegean Sea, where he wrote the book of Revelation. In that book, John writes several decades later to the church in Ephesus this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance and that you cannot endure evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance. And have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Wow. Could that be said of us? Look at what he says next, though. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Now, interestingly enough, 30 years earlier, this church in Ephesus had been commended for its love in the letter to the Ephesians that Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. You know, that could be us. We could rest on what we've done. We'll be celebrating the 25th anniversary of moving to this campus in May of 2019. But today, now, there is a wide door open. What kind of door? I heard a little Yankee in there. What kind of door?
Wide.
Wide. That's it. You know, when John Wesley was 83, he wrote an article entitled Thoughts About Methodism. Imagine in the 1700s, almost nobody made it to 83. John Wesley did. He was feisty. But he's reflecting on the vitality of the movement, and he writes this. I am not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist either in Europe or North America, but I am afraid lest they should only exist as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power. And this undoubtedly will be the case unless they hold fast to both the doctrine, the spirit, and the discipline with which they first set out. You know, I have to tell you, 15 years plus into this, I am still excited to be here. This is no dead sect. And as we prepare to launch our new space, I want to ask you, will you adjust your schedule? That this could be a tool and a wide door of opportunity for you to spend some time here, to meet a friend here, to play in the men's basketball pickup league, to do a co-ed volleyball thing, to do youth groups on Sunday nights, including in the big space now, to be a part of a Stitches of Love group, to do the senior walking track or chair fitness class, let alone the Bible studies. There is so much that we need in this year to do. As we prepare to launch our new space, I really feel like God's hand is in this, and it is a wide door. And today, I believe Jesus has opened this new door for us, and he asks you and me today, Dexter, will you go through it? Will you walk through this? Will you cross the threshold? Will you give what you have, your time, your talents, your gifts, your service, and yes, your witness? Let it be so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for what you have done and have yet to do. And we thank you for the wide door of opportunity for effective service and ministry. And that there are many adversaries. Lord, it means our work is cut out for us and we need your help. Holy Spirit, I pray you guide our decisions about everything, our free time, when we go to bed, when we wake up, what we do, what we read, what we watch, who we speak with, who we listen to. And I pray, God, that you would be with us, Lord, that Satan would not have any power or any threshold or any stronghold or any foothold. So God, bless us that Satan would be thwarted and the Lord Jesus would be made famous. And that we would grow in him day by day together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.